Please stand as you are able for the call to worship. We bring our gifts and we bring our love. We bring our worship and we bring our praise. And please stay standing for our opening hymn, We Three Kings. We are going to sing verses 1-4. Thank you. You may be seated. And please join me for our opening prayer printed in your bulletin and on the screens. Gracious God, we come into your presence with joy and praise, grateful for the gift of Christ Jesus in our lives. As we celebrate this gift in our service of worship, fill our hearts with Christmas joy and our spirits with the gift of your Holy Spirit. With joy and gratitude we pray. Amen. And can I have the children please come forward for a quick children's sermon?
holding. You're all set.
Thank you. I always struggle with this. So, hello, guys. It's a little chilly outside, isn't it? Just a little. Yes. Well, today I am so thankful that we sang We Three Kings because it goes right into our children's sermon. Look here. What I brought from home is the three kings from our nativity set. And what I want to talk about is them because we're going to talk about Epiphany today. And one thing that we do in Epiphany is we remember the three wise men and the gifts that they brought Jesus. So first of all, I'm going to tell a little bit of a story here, guys, about them, but I want you to help me. So first of all, the three kings, they decided to go see Jesus because they heard that he was going to be born. And how did they travel? Did they travel by train? No. Okay. Did they travel? Did they travel by bus? How did they travel? How did they get from where they were to where Jesus was?
By camel.
By camel. Wow. And did they use a map to guide the way? Did they just use their instincts? How did they know where to go? They followed the star. That's right. And then they found where the star stopped, where Jesus was, and they brought him three gifts. And do you know what those gifts were? Good job. I love it. You guys know your Christmas story. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Do you know why they brought those three gifts? Any thoughts on one of them? Okay, so that might be that those were very hard, and so it was super special gifts. It definitely was special gifts, right? I think we can all agree on that. They traveled a long way. Well, let me tell you a little bit what I did a little research, and what I found was that they brought gold because Jesus was a king, and that was what kings got. Kings got gold, so they brought that gold to signify that Jesus was a king. They brought frankincense because frankincense is a spice, and it's what they use in worship. And so when they were doing their worship services, they would use frankincense. And so it signified that Jesus was worthy of worship. And then myrrh. Do you know what myrrh is? Myrrh is an oil that they put on the bodies after they're dead, and to help preserve them. And so it signified that one thing that Jesus was going to do, a gift he was going to give us, was he was going to die for us. So very, very special gifts and very, very significant. So what I want you to remember these, but more importantly, I want you guys to remember that you have special gifts. You have special, special gifts that you can bring every day to serve the Lord. So I want you to think about that today and this week. All right? Let's say a prayer to conclude. Dear Lord, thank you for the three wise men and the gifts that they brought to baby Jesus. And please remind us that we have gifts that we can bring as well. Amen. If you guys could come on up, I have a treat for you. And while we're doing that, we'll have Carol go ahead and get started. Our prayer hymn is number 251, Go Tell It on the Mountain.
Thank you.
Well, friends, as we go into our time of prayer this morning, I think I just want to build on what we've just been talking about, the gifts and what we're supposed to be doing by telling what has happened. Let's go to our Lord in prayer. Amazing and gracious God, you are one that can never really be understood. We just went through this and the season of Christmas, and we see so much awesomeness that was before us. Now, we have come to think of it as an old story that may just be something that's told and retold. But when we really listen and pay attention and let it touch us, we can see how amazing this gift of Jesus Christ is. Lord, He changes everything. He is the one who opens us to a whole new understanding. So, Lord, we are grateful when we are able to see this and to believe it. But Lord, as we have just understood, that you understand that we have gifts that we can give to you, to give to your Son, Jesus Christ, the one who made us alive forevermore. So Lord, this is something that is an amazing thing for us to understand and trust and believe. Help us to use what we have been given by your creating us for this very moment, for us to be those who go and tell, to be able to see those around us who just may be walking around as if there is nothing else. But we know the story. Help us to have an understanding of that story so well that we are able to truly interject into people's lives this amazing story that changes everything. Lord, you're the one that gives us courage. That is a gift that you've given us. A gift that we can share in announcing the birth of your Son. So Lord, we are grateful for all these things that you have bestowed upon us, but especially your Son, who is the one who makes it all worth it. Worth our worship, worth our praise, and worth our witness. So encourage us this day to be courageous to tell the story. Let us now share the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray as His body of Christ. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, we have a generous God, one who has left nothing unturned for us to be revealed. It is through this generosity that we are able to respond in generosity. Ushers, would you please wait upon us? please join together in this prayer of dedication. Generous God, thank you for the gift of Jesus. Thank you for the gifts of Christmas. Thank you for inviting us to bring gifts to your world. Bless the gifts we bring, that they may become vessels of Christ's light and love in the world. Amen. Please remain standing for the gospel reading.
Our scripture reading today comes from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search carefully for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, so that I too may go and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star that they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Starry sky, desert sand, traveling.
Amen.
Thanks, Erica, for sharing your gifts.
When Suzanne and I lived in Iowa, I worked as a computer graphics developer for a mechanical engineering software company named CADSEI. CADSEI stood for Computer-Aided Design Software Incorporated. CADSEI began as an offshoot of the University of Iowa's engineering department, which developed a mathematical model to process the dynamic forces of anything that moves. I was hired to create graphics software that would display the dynamic data of these physical designs using animation to show engineers any issues with their design before they would build them. Sounds cool, right? Well, it was cool when it worked. This was in the mid-90s, so it was, you know, a time of great advances in computer graphics. And there were lots of competition among computer hardware companies to provide the best and fastest graphics. This meant that I had to keep up with the changes across multiple computer companies who each had their own way of generating graphics. In the end, I had to write software that would look the same regardless of which company's hardware and graphics engine I was using. One time I was adding a new feature it required a change that impacted everything. I thought I followed all the vendor's directions, but when I implemented the solution, the screen which was to display an animated engine part for a Boeing aircraft was blank. I spent days and nights trying to figure out what was wrong. I was at my wit's end. I was willing to try just about anything to get past this problem. And believe it or not, one night I had a dream that revealed a solution to me. I woke up the next morning wondering, would this work? Could I really have dreamed the solution? I rushed into the office, reworked my programming, and ran the animation again that I had done so many times before without success. But this time the screen was filled with moving parts. It worked. I ran through the office like an excited kid telling the other developers of my breakthrough. And one of them said to me, "You had an epiphany." I said, "A what?" He replied, "An epiphany, you know, when you realize something or understand something unexpectedly, which changes your situation or outlook." I was like, okay. I had an epiphany. That was the first time that I remember hearing the word epiphany ever used or referenced. And then years later, I ran into it again at church. But the meaning was not quite the same. Epiphany in the spiritual context commonly means manifestation or appearance of a divine being or a revelation of the divine. In the case of our scripture today, we are speaking of God being manifest in Jesus Christ and Christ being revealed to the world, even the non-Jewish world. We celebrate the revelation of Jesus. God in the flesh is Lord of all, Jews and Gentiles. This is Epiphany. And that's what the church celebrates today on what we call Epiphany Sunday. The day of Epiphany is actually tomorrow. In order to grasp the fullness of the meaning here, we need to return to the Greek meaning of the word, because the Latin and English translation of the word loses some of the oomph. The Greek means something like this: sudden, surprising happening that changes everything completely. It is a word of exclamation, like bam or boom. Epiphany deserves to have an exclamation point always attached to it. So instead of using epiphany as an adjective for this Sunday, calling it Epiphany Sunday, Let's use Epiphany as an exclamation to describe the happenings in today's scripture like this. A new star is displayed in the heavens. Epiphany. It is the star of the newborn King of the Jews. Epiphany. He is the Son of God. Epiphany. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is revealed to the world. Epiphany. Jesus coming into the world changes everything completely. Jesus coming into our life changes everything in us completely. But here's the rub. It isn't epiphany unless we respond. If I wouldn't have implemented the software solution that came to me in a dream, I would not have had a functioning piece of software. There would have been no reason for exclamation. Friends, it is in the response to God's free gift of grace where epiphany is experienced. So the question for us today is, how can we be Epiphany people? Let's take a look at this story of the Magi coming to visit the baby Jesus to see what we can discover. So this is what Matthew writes at the beginning of chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him." These Magi from the east claim that a star shone in the heavens represented the birth of the King of the Jews. How could this be? We don't know for sure, but theologians and historians describe the Magi, the kings, whatever we want to call them, the wise men, describe them as educated men and priests who specialize in astrology, interpretation of dreams, and possibly the magical arts. Taking this all into account, God revealed the birth of Jesus to a non-Jewish group who were actively looking for deeper meaning and understanding of their existence and the happenings of the world. God used what was familiar to the Magi, creation and dreams, to reveal the Son of God to them. Epiphany people are on the lookout for truth. See, God can use anything, but God is also practical and uses what is familiar and available to us. God is constantly working in our lives to reveal truth about the existence of the Creator, our need for forgiveness and salvation, our brokenness, our purpose for life. But if we aren't ever looking for these truths in our lives, we'll have a hard time recognizing them. For many years, I didn't consider God to be active in my life. I wasn't looking or listening for truth. Truth about Jesus. Truth about Jesus' impact on my life. About Jesus' impact on the world. About anything, really. I just lived and reacted to what life brought into my life. But when I was invited by friends and my church to consider reading the Bible for myself, to study the teachings that were in the Bible, to paying attention how God is working in and around my life, I finally was awakened to a new understanding. New understanding about Jesus. God revealed to me that Jesus, aside from the forgiveness of my sins, offers a life-changing relationship with Him right now. Epiphany. Friends, truth is being revealed to us through creation, through dreams, circumstances, study, prayer, and other ways which are familiar to us. But we must be willing to see the truth that is being made known to us in all of these things. Now, the Magi see this new star. And somehow they draw the conclusion that this new star represents the birth of a new king of the Jews. And with this discovery, did they celebrate with a glass of champagne among themselves and then begin looking for the next new thing? Well, they may have been pretty excited at first. But then what did they do? They had to plan a long trip. A tough trip to Jerusalem. And then journey hundreds of miles. And then they arrived in Jerusalem and started asking people, no one they knew, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? The Magi responded to what was shown to them. They went to confirm that a child was born. Epiphany people verify what is revealed to them. One evening after a church event, before I was a pastor, there was just a few folks that were left just chatting around, and Suzanne and I were there having a conversation with the guest speaker that was there at the event. The gentleman asked us if he could pray for us before he went. Right before he prayed, he said, I would like to pray in tongues. At that point, none of us that were still there witnessed anyone speaking in tongues before. But we agreed that it was okay. As he was praying over us, his wife would interject with what appeared to be interpretation of this prayer. The experience left both Suzanne and I feeling awkward, but also intrigued. When we got home, we talked about what had happened and how we felt about this prayer. Much of what he prayed for us based on the interpretation, it was much appreciated. But we were more distracted by questioning his authenticity of speaking in tongues. We were unsettled. So we searched the scriptures together. And to learn more about tongues. And Scripture confirmed tongues as a spiritual gift. And when using tongues in public, interpretation was supposed to be offered. All these things were happening. So we spent a good time reading and rereading. And in that time of seeking confirmation of our experience, we were encouraged. We were able to verify what was revealed to us. And our awkward feelings turned to the assurance of God's presence in that experience. Through it all. To the Magi, after being cornered by Herod and being directed to Bethlehem as the birthplace of the long-awaited Messiah, Matthew wrote, they went on their way, and the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child was with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. They were overjoyed that the star they had seen, which motivated them to make this long journey, appeared again. But this time, the child associated with it was before their eyes. God revealed to the Magi the glory of His Son. The truth was made known, and they bowed down before the Son of God. Epiphany people submit to the truth as revealed. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and is worthy to be praised, and His authority, His eternal reign, is above all. Jesus is Lord of all. Epiphany. Jesus in our life changes everything completely, and it is not something to be feared, but embraced. So I encourage you today to be on the lookout for truth that the Lord is bringing to your attention. When you sense the voice of the Lord speaking to you, verify the truth. Starting with searching in the Scriptures and sharing with others who can help. You discern whatever it is and what your response should be. And then once you affirm the truth, be bold and submit to the truth through obedience and worship. When we think about it, the world outlook can seem dark, so the world needs Epiphany people to change the outlook. So hear now from the prophet Hosea, speaking into the darkness and destruction of exile that faced God's people then. He said, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you." Never forget the wonder that has been given to all people in Jesus Christ. First as a baby in a manger, but as we know, now risen. Be forever changed and change the world with your witness. Epiphany. Amen. The old story of the baby in a manger continued. It brings us to this table. A story in and of itself. See, the Christ our Lord invites to His table all who love Him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with everyone. So as we know that we aren't always perfect people, even if we are becoming Epiphany people, hear this prayer. Almighty God, to You all hearts are open, all desires known. And from You no secrets are hidden. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of Your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love You and worthily magnify Your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. As I said, the story continued from the time the baby was in the manger, but really that was a continuation of the story. Think about the Magi as they were anticipating something. How do you think they were anticipating in the first place? A king of the Jews. The story of all the Jews had already made it throughout the areas around them. They knew this anticipation of a Messiah. Story that had begun so long ago is relevant. God's story of people being fallen and a God pursuing them. And God's pursuit came through the Jewish people, the Hebrew people. And they held on to their part of the story. And it made its way beyond them, and people were wondering what it was about this God. It was through this God that pursued a people and ended up pursuing all people through His Son that was sent to save the world. That is what brings us to this table. The life of Jesus Christ, who was born in that manger, and then as he got older, He took what He was and who He was into the people that were around Him expecting Him. They were expecting something, but maybe not Him. But through His life, it became more and more apparent, especially for those that were around His table. It was with those that were closest to Him, that were open to on the lookout, so to speak, to be able to see who He is. And so as He was sitting with them, they had been learning the story of the Messiah, and they had already believed that He probably was the Messiah. But they, in their minds, they were hoping for so many things. So he took bread. He looked at his disciples and said, "There's something new about this bread. See, this bread is my body, which is broken for you and given to you for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you take it, do it in remembrance of me." And after supper, he took the cup, and likewise he said, "This is about a new covenant. This is my blood that's being poured out for you and for many, for the forgiveness of sins, for all those who believe. Take and drink and do this in remembrance of me." So Holy Spirit, come upon us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by His blood. By Your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at His heavenly banquet. Through Your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit and Your holy church, all honor and glory is Yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. The table has been set. We will be receiving in the pews today. We'll be passing them out, and we will hold the elements until we all have them, and then we'll take each one together as the body of Christ. Julie? We do have gluten-free. If anybody needs this, just let the ushers know and we'll make sure they get it. Ushers, would you please wait? This is the body of Christ that changes everything completely. Take and eat. This is the blood of Christ. It washes away sin and shame. Take and drink. Let us pray. Amazing God, we are grateful for this meal that is more than just bread and cup. It is the presence of Jesus Christ in us and through us. Thank you for giving us your Son that we may live forever. Amen.
And please stand for our closing hymn. There's a song in the air. It's on the screens and in your hymnal number 249.
We are Epiphany people, if you so choose to be. Be one that is on the lookout and see what the Lord is bringing into your life and those around you. And bring them the good news. And go in peace. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.